Our scripture today is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. If you would like to open that up in your pew Bible to follow along, I would always encourage that. As you're doing that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your loving care. We thank you for this moment of mercy and grace that you share with us. And we pray to you that your light shines within our lives, this word being your light, lighting our path that we may walk the path that you laid down before us. We ask you, Lord, also for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory. We thank you for all that you are, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Hear now God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Baptism. All right, so I'm going to talk very briefly. It is always my desire, and I hope yours also, to know the Lord more. And we have different things to do for that to happen. Prayer, fasting, communion, baptism, we'll get into that in a moment. But also reading your Bible is quite important too. And I know many of us feel like we could read our Bible more. There's always tools out there to help. There's our daily bread, there is the upper room. Those are great daily devotions. But there's also something that I mentioned before, and I would encourage you to use it at least for a while. It's our liturgical calendar, our lectionary. Now, I follow the lectionary almost every Sunday when preparing the sermon. There's four scriptures. The scriptures come from different places. You got your gospel scripture. You have your epistle scripture. It's like mostly Paul's writings, the extra writings. You have your psalm, and then you have your Old Testament scripture. Now, if you go to the daily lectionary, there's daily readings for every day. And the cycle is a three-year cycle. Year A, year B, year C. So if you start over, then you go back to year A. It's great because it follows a pattern each day. The pattern is based upon our liturgical calendar. Now here's a trivia question for you. It's pass-fail, you know, so we'll see how well you do. One question. What is the first day of our liturgical year? We'll do a warm-up question. What's the first day of the year? There you go. Well, I'll keep that in mind when grading your faith paper. You knew that one. First day of the liturgical year. It's not January 1st. December what? 25th. That's closer. The first day of our liturgical year is the first Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of Advent is the first day of our liturgical year. Now, for the first half of our liturgical year, it follows the life of Christ. The first four Sundays in our liturgical year, of course, are Advent, which is then followed by Christmas, the birth of Christ. And then after the birth of Christ, we celebrate another Sunday, or another day, it's not necessarily Sunday, which actually just happened on January 6th, and that was called Epiphany, the wise men, if you will. And now, after the wise men and the Epiphany, then we start focusing more on Jesus. And the first celebration, besides Jesus' birth, is Jesus' baptism. And that's what we're going to recognize and talk about today. The liturgical year is extremely helpful because what it does is it goes through Christ's life in sort of a chronological order, ending with, when we're focusing on Jesus, any idea what it ends with? Close. Easter's close. Ascension is the actual day. That's the last day we talk about Jesus. Not really, but it's like Jesus' life. And then after the ascension is the Pentecost. Pentecost. I used to call it Pentesaver when I was growing up. Anyone get the Pentesaver still? No, I don't even think it exists anymore. This is part of the liturgical calendar. We fall on baptism today. Now, when you look at the specific days of the liturgical calendar, you got the birth of Jesus, you got the baptism of Jesus, you got the transfiguration of Jesus, you got the whole Easter week, the death, resurrection, you have the ascension of Jesus. We start to see a pattern form, and that helps to tell us who Jesus is. In the birth of Jesus, I love the birth of Jesus, we have God who is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, knows everything, has everything, needs for nothing, wants for nothing, dependent on nothing, then becoming a baby who needs everything, is dependent for everything, and relies upon others to survive. This is quite the step down and shows the humbleness of Christ. Baptism does the same thing. When we look at the scripture of baptism, we have John the Baptist who has spent many days of his life out in the desert baptizing the people. Now, John's baptism was for repentance. The repentance was a new start, a new beginning, chance to become clean, to throw all those things that we're ashamed of, that we don't like anymore, to let them go. It reminds me of a story about a baptism from years and years and years ago in the American frontier where they would baptize in the rivers. The church had gathered down by the river to baptize, and the town drunk, Jimmy, he saw that they were down there and wondering what was going on, and he walked up to the pastor, and he said to the pastor, "What's happening here?" And the pastor grabs him by the back of the neck, and he said, "Jesus wants you, and I want you to find Jesus." And he dunks him in the water, and he pulls him out, and he says, "Have you found Jesus?" And he said, "No, I haven't." And at least he's honest, you know. And so the pastor dunks him again, brings him out. "Did you find Jesus?" And he says, "No, I haven't." And so the pastor again dunks him down in the name of God. That brings him up. "Have you found Jesus?" And of course Jimmy says, "Are you sure he fell in here?" That wasn't quite a new beginning for Jimmy. But of course, it's meant to be that new beginning, that washing of our souls, of our bodies. And for John the Baptist, this was to prepare the way for something more. That something more was, of course, Christ, who would baptize not with water, as John would say, but with the Holy Spirit. Now, John did have an inkling on who the Messiah was. And so when Jesus came up to John, Jesus said to John, "Baptize me also." John was strictly confused because, of course, Jesus had no sin. There was no shame. There was no reason for a new beginning. And John said, "I need to be baptized by you." But this is the humble part we see in Christ. Jesus was truly a leader when it came to example. Jesus said in our scriptures, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." So John said yes. Could you imagine John's predicament? He said of Jesus, I am unfit to even touch his shoes. I can't untie his sandals. And yet he wants me to baptize him. And so John did, baptized Jesus. As Jesus was coming out, the heavens parted, a dove came down upon Christ, and a voice of God from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I love this part of the baptism of Jesus, because Jesus, when he was born, like many of us, really didn't have much of a choice. We're born. But in this, Jesus, who is both fully human and fully God, got to decide, and of course chose the path that God, his Father, who is also he, has laid before him. In being baptized, he humbled himself, became like us, walked with us, understood us, loved us, and God said, "Well done." This is how he wants to live here on earth, as an example for each of us. And so we follow through with baptism. Every time someone was baptized, we take the baptismal font there, and we set it out here in the open, in the middle, so that when you come in, you know that a baptism is going to happen. And I get excited about that, because it's a chance for us who have been baptized to remember our baptism. Baptism is not just a new beginning in our lives anymore. It's not just saying, "I want to start over, I want to begin again, I want a clean slate, I don't want to do these things anymore." Because how well can a baby profess that? But baptism is a new beginning in that it is a chance for us to be in a new family. We live in a world, unfortunately, and it's nothing new, it's been going around for centuries, where we have dysfunctional families, neglectful parents. We have people who shun us and don't talk to us for one reason or another. And yet baptism is that one moment in our life where the Creator of everything, in the midst of everybody, says, "I love this person," who proclaims, "They are mine," for everyone to hear, to see. That someone would proclaim that to me is so humbling and such a blessing. But there's a caveat to this, as of course there always is. If that person has been brought into the family of God through their baptism, how many of you through your baptism are part of the family of God? That means we are part of the family of God together. That means that if God says, "They are mine," then that also means they are yours. They are your brother and sister. That means you can't deny them either. As much as you may want to deny someone, I don't know them. Peter, on the day that Jesus was taken to be tried, "I don't know him," out of fear or shame or whatever it was. Sometimes we have trouble accepting one another. But through our baptism that Christ has instituted for us, that we have followed through with, we are one together. To lift each other up, to hold one another, to support each other, to love each other. Through thick and thin. Through mistake. Through joys. To be there with each other. The baptism of our Lord Sunday not only reminds us of Jesus' baptism and the humbleness that he went through in order to do it willingly for us, but reminds us too of the family in which we are all part of through that baptism. So I pray that through that, we continue to hold one another in prayer, in love, in support, and in the knowledge that through Jesus Christ, we cannot deny that we are together, but we are to embrace. And I thank God that no matter what is out there in the world, we may embrace one another and love each other in Christ's name. I leave you with this benediction today. May the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen your inner being for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and dwell within you this day and evermore. Amen and amen. Go in peace.